Pleasure to have you here.
It's Jack, it's great to be on with you. Great to be on with you.
So tell us, what does the development industry look like? What does the future look like going forward to 2022, 2023, 2024?
Well, if I knew that completely, if I actually knew exactly what was going to happen, I can tell you three things that might happen, Jack.
Go on.
It might get worse, it might stay the same, or it might get better. That's at the end of the day. That's what, you know, we all have. All we can do is use the experience from the past to predict the future.
That's
and,
right. Yes.
You know, I've survived three property recessions. I've been at the game 40 odd years, and I can obviously go back and say, well, this is what happened when this happened before.
Yep.
The only thing I'd say this time is that interest rates are incredibly low. I know they're going to start going up this year, but they are amazingly low.
That's right.
And that really causes me difficulty in really predicting what I think might happen. For instance, they always used to say when people borrowed 5 to 6 times their salary on a mortgage, mm-hmm. recession soon came after because they're stretching themselves economically in every other way. But now, of course, 5 or 6 times someone's salary is probably mortgage-wise less than what rent they're paying.
That's right.
So, it has changed. It has changed. And, you know, someone like me with the experience I've got, I have to change with the times a little bit as well.
That's right.
But the fundamentals do stay the same.
Yeah.
And that is, if interest rates start going up, people get more defensive, they get more negative. And if you've got a husband and wife, and one of them wants to move and the other one's not so keen, the one that doesn't want to move has got an excuse to not move. The economy is not so good, interest rates go, or whatever it might be. So it's not the fact that people are going to end up in trouble with interest rates going up, because 90% of mortgages now are on a fixed, I think, as you know, Jack.
That's right.
90% odd are on a fixed mortgage so the income, the dramatic change won't be dramatic like it was in 2008, 2009. But it will slowly eat in. And the biggest thing I think is inflation.
Yep.
So I was talking to a banker yesterday who I borrowed some money off, quite a big firm, and they were saying, John, inflation really is 10%. It's not 5 or 6%. That's a load of rubbish. It's 5 or 6% because that's what the government use to monitor it. But if you take everything into account, it's over 10%. And I think everyone knows that because energy prices going up. Look at bill costs. I mean, materials have gone up 30% in the last 18 months at least. So everything is going up. Everything is going up.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned inflation, John. I think people who are on the ground, I mean, I feel it's way above 10%. It's way above 10%.
Way above. I agree.
To me, it literally feels like 20%. Maybe I might be wrong, but to me, it feels like 20%. And for those who, you know, who, if you're watching, you know, those who are watching this, I mean, your money is depreciating by 20% or 15% at least, as we speak, if you're going to keep money in account. What do you think is a better way?
That you've set me up beautifully there, Jack, haven't you? You set me up to say invest in residential property because it will keep up with inflation. Now, very interestingly, last year, would you believe nearly 400,000 people got into the property market? 400,000 first-time buyers.
That's
got into it. It's amazing.
People, it's stamp duty stuff, right? Yeah.
It's remarkable. I know that, you know, incentives with the stamp duty and everything else, but
to buy,
that is remarkable.
That. Yeah.
That really is remarkable. The one thing I would say from my experience in the past is that under a Labour government, where you have much higher inflation normally, there's normally less people in work when a Labour government comes out of office than there is when they start. And they've borrowed a hell of a lot more money normally, the unusual times. And the Conservatives have had to borrow loads, haven't they?
Yeah.
But normally that's the case. So what I'm trying to say is no property person has done that badly under Labour. And the reason they've never done badly under Labour is because under Labour, inflation is always higher than it is under Tories. So on that basis, a bit of inflation doesn't do any harm to the property industry whatsoever.
Okay. So I'm getting diplomatic answers from you, John.
Well, all I'm saying, I'm not really Jack, because you know me, I'm straight. We know each other. I mean, I'm straightforward, and I say exactly what I can afford to say exactly what I think.
Yes.
And what I'm
Yes.
really saying is, you know, if you've got, if you invest money in property, then actually inflation is not such a worry than
It's
if
not
you
such a
haven't
worry.
got money.
Yeah, that is
If you've got
definitely
it,
for sure.
you know, if you've got it on deposit, it's a problem, because
Yes.
it's the real value is going down. If you've got it
Yes.
in property, and even if the market only goes up, and I don't think the market's going to go up a huge amount this year, you know, I think 5% across the board is probably about right. It's a
If that,
micro market.
if that,
Some
yeah.
areas will be more, some areas won't go up at all, some areas
Yeah.
might go down a little bit. But on the average, you say 5%, then actually you are fighting some of that inflation.
That's right, yes. That's a good way to put it, I must say.
Thank
That
you,
if you are
Jack.
invested in
Thank you.
property, that if you're invested in residential, at least you're putting, you are balancing that towards in your favor in some way.
You are.
But is there a better way? Is there a better way to beat inflation, or to be able to, it's almost like, so think of it this way. Let's say there's a doctor, this guy is making, or a girl is making 100 grand, or if
Yes.
there's an engineer, they're making 100 grand, or maybe just shy of 100 grand. Where are they better off, if they don't want to invest in residential?
Well, that's interesting. It amazes me how many doctors and dentists want to be property developers. It's amazing. And I've got a friend who's an actor, and he's been in a few shows, and he's not relatively well known. He hasn't done much recently. And he said to me the other day, we had lunch, and he said to me the other day, he's not working, about resting at the moment, they call it, don't they? Resting. And he said, you know what, John, you know what, I've only ever really wanted to do one thing. I said, what's that? He said, be a property developer. Amazing, isn't it? You know, he's been on all sorts of TV shows. It's amazing. It's all he wanted ever to do. And it seems the same with doctors and dentists. I've never known so many doctors and dentists. I've got a great friend of mine, Rajiv. He's got 50, 60 houses. And I know a lot of other doctors who invest in property, and it's quite remarkable. And in fact, with our joint venture fund, we're just investing, doing a joint venture with a dentist in Imran, I'm sure he won't mind me saying, in Cardiff, where we're converting an office building into 10 flats. And it's amazing how many of them want to get into property. Now, the ballsy ones might want to look at commercial, because commercial property at the moment is in a recession, a total, utter recession.
Recession, yeah.
Subsidized or made slightly better by the government allowing PD rights.
PD
But of
rights, yeah.
course, PD rights have got a lot tougher in the last year under the new rules. And most councils now have got to grips with PD and are putting Article 4 on all sorts of areas. I was talking to my friend Henry today, who's based in Liverpool. And Henry and I are looking to do a joint venture
Oh, I
together.
know Henry. Yeah, I
Henry's
know
got a
Henry
few
Davis. Yeah.
properties and bits and bobs. Yeah, he's a good
Yes.
lad. And Henry said, do you know what, John? All the property areas I work in Liverpool, they're putting Article 4s on them all. It's madness. And the government needs to get to grips with it, sort this out, because it's a major, major problem. And I mean, we all know that the councils hate PD, and will do anything to stop you doing it, basically, unless you're in a very, very poor area where they perhaps will support it. But most councils are anti it. They don't like being told what to do. And the government stepped in 2013, with the office to residential, because the council weren't doing their job. They weren't allowing these properties to be converted to residential. So they said, okay, if that's the case, we'll bypass you virtually, and we'll let people have permission automatically. And that's what they did.
Here's a question for you. Do you think if someone wanted to beat inflation and maybe potentially make profit, and obviously I'm not asking people to jump into commercial unless they know what they're doing. Please don't do that when you're watching and get motivated. But
Come to
do
my
you think it's
seminar first
worthwhile
is the
investing
answer.
time
Yeah.
into commercial?
So I've just written a book on commercial over Christmas. Don't like Christmas, so I wrote a book on commercial property, which will be out in the next, hopefully, couple of months. So most high street rents have halved. Halved.
Yes.
which is unbelievable. And I've managed to take advantage of this on a few. I bought one or two department stores and things like that where, you know, the tenants have got 1 year to go and or moving out. And, you know, properties that were, say, worth £2 million with, say, you know, 100,000 rent or 150,000 rent are now probably worth 2 million, a pound now worth a million, literally.
Yep.
But of course, if you can let them again, then they go back up to a much higher level. Yep. The risk is, of course, you've got empty rates. Unless it's listed, if the building's listed, you've got no empty rates.
Yeah.
So to pay. So, but some of these buildings, I'm buying a property in Colchester at the moment, a big property, 34,000 square feet. I'm paying £38 a foot. £38 a foot. To build it would be £200 a foot. Now, it's still not the best deal I've ever done in the world, Jack. Mm. It's still tough to make money, but I can convert the upstairs into 27 flats. I can let the ground floor, hopefully, split it into smaller shops and let it. But I've got empty rates in the meantime on the ground floor, don't forget.
Yeah.
So it's not for the faint-hearted. I'm not suggesting it is. And the other thing about commercial is you can probably only borrow 50% at the most.
Yep.
Yep. And if it's empty, if it's all empty, unless you're an experienced developer, it's hard probably to actually get many banks. You can get a bridger to lend, but to get banks to lend might be difficult. But if it's part, most of these buildings we're buying are part occupied.
Yep.
So, you know, it just takes the sting out of it a little bit, rent wise and rates wise. Yeah.
You know, it's good that you said that, you know, it's almost like you've built that resilience when things get tough. How can someone build resilience like that?
In what way, Jack?
So you know, one thing I learned, and maybe I'm just observing people who are more experienced than I am, like yourself, is that when things get tough, you've somehow built this patience level within you that even if things do get tough, you will always find a way to be able to manage it. How do you build resilience like that? Or is it just going through the hard pain sometimes?
Well, what I would say is we all want a bit of blood on the street.
Yeah.
Any property developer or investor to a point that doesn't want things to get tough,
no,
they've got it round the wrong way.
Yeah.
I believe. So when things are really easy and the property's going up with inflation and or with property inflation, whatever you want to call it, anyone can do the job, Jack.
Yeah.
I always say that my dog, Ivy, if she could put a paw on a signature on a contract, when the market's going up, she'd make as much money as anyone else. Okay? Simple as that. She would. The only thing is, the difference is, she wouldn't know when to stop. She'd keep putting a paw on the signature, as some other people have done in the past, and then they lose the whole lot. It's like gambling, you know, you just, I won again, keep going, and then you lose the lot.
Yeah.
So the trick is to read the market and know when things are going to slow down and get tough. And there are a few telltale signs. In the old days, it was car sales. So when new car sales started to drop, then property followed. And at the moment, that's very difficult to assess because it's electric and getting rid of diesel cars. I've got a new electric car coming, actually.
Yeah.
I'm doing my bit for the environment, Jack. Mind you, I've got to keep my old
car because
it doesn't do enough miles. It doesn't do enough miles on the battery. But anyway, don't worry about that.
So, are you getting a Tesla?
So no, not getting a Tesla. A different type of car. A different type
of car.
So a little bit more sporty. What I'm saying is there's telltale signs and the auction market is a really good sign. So when the auction market goes from a clearance rate of 70-80%, which it is now, down to 50%, you know that the general property market's going to reduce as well. Because whatever happens in auctions happens everywhere else 6 to 9 months later, normally.
That's right, yeah.
Normally. And whatever happens in London tends to then come out like a wave.
Yeah.
Out of London. And London market at the moment, I mean, you never, you know, and a few London agents who I know are going to slag me off or cringe when I say this, but, you know, some of these London agents are so clever with their words. They're so slick sophisticated agents that you never know what the hell they mean when they say, well, you ask them how the market is and you don't get a straight answer.
No, I know what you mean.
But I would say that the London market at the moment is quite challenging.
It is.
In most areas. I might be wrong. I'm not, there's pockets where it isn't, I'm sure. But so the London market is already quite tough. Mm-hmm. So on that basis, do we think this year that the market's going to go up as much as it did last year? My answer to that is no.
It won't.
Well, that's official, is it, Jack? Definitely official.
Definitely won't.
That's official. Jack,
one thing I learned, John, is...
I think everyone who's going to be on the event, 1,000 people or whatever this event that you're getting me to work on. By the way, very few people get me to work on a Sunday, Jack. You've done very well.
Thank you.
Hayley Andrews does, because I do a two-day, I've got one coming up, so a two-day seminar I do on a Saturday and Sunday with her, but that's unusual. So well done, Jack. So
thank you.
But you know, if you ask 1,000 people on that event, do they think the property market's going to go be better than last year? I think most people would probably say no, and I'm sure we'll all be right on this occasion. But so London market is certainly a barometer for the rest of the market. Yeah. Auctions are definitely a barometer to know what the rest of the market is going to do. The economic forecast is another one. Mm-hmm. Inflation is another one.
Yeah.
And interest rates. So it's a combination, isn't it? And we've actually beaten, or, you know, everyone said Brexit comes along. Oh, property market's going to drop 30%. We're never going to have employment like we have now. Well, it's just got better.
Yeah.
So it's difficult times, I think, to actually assess what is really going to happen. Difficult. Yeah, one thing I will say to you, though, I was talking to a big property developer. I mean, a big one. I won't say who it was. It was a big property developer, and having a lunch with him. And he said to me, John, if they take away Help to Buy, we're in trouble.
I agree with that.
That's what he said to me. If you take away Help to Buy and the Chinese investors, we're in big trouble. And I thought about that, and I thought, whew. I mean, Help to Buy comes off, as you know, next year. General election was going to be next year, because I was chairman, I'm now president of the Ipswich For My Sins Conservative Association, and we were told election next year, get yourself ready for election next year. Now, with all what's happened, I think it might go to the year after.
Yeah.
But I'll be surprised if the government don't put something else in place which is attractive for first-time buyers. And the reason for that, more than anything else, is that they know that if people buy a property, they're more likely, home ownership, they're more likely to vote Tory than they are Labour. Because they're aspirational, they want to get on in life. And Labour under Corbyn was anti-home ownership. This new Labour aren't so much. They're more sensible, I would agree with that. But they'll still whack taxes up even more than they are already.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You've touched what I was looking for. I think if Help to Buy is taken off, I think developers are going to struggle. And at the same time, you know, one thing I've learned, and my observation is that there is the rule, and there's always the exception to the rule. So we can only predict the market from the past, you know, track or whatever.
Yes.
And if we just look at the rule, which is the rule of the past, what you just shared is what makes sense. You know, and unless something unusual happens or government comes in and do something about this, and or maybe they'd extend Help to Buy, or maybe some sort of other incentive, it's definitely going to be a struggle for most developers.
But also, Jack, it's actually a two-tier market when you think about it. Yep. There's a new home market, which is subsidized, and actually which is probably 15% higher than the second-hand market. And that's because there's subsidies on being able to buy.
Yes.
So, you know, they are bringing in another product, but it's quite complicated, and it's 95% mortgage. It's quite complicated, and the developer has to deposit a percentage of the purchase price in a fund. So it's not, it's complicated. And I don't think it's going to take off at all. Not many developers have signed up to it. All building societies, although the nationwide have just signed up to it. But it's complicated. It's not so appealing as the Help to Buy.
As the Help to Buy. That's very interesting. Before we finish today, what are the three things or tips, if I may say, you'd give away to people who are either still starting out or maybe just, you know, barely two, three down years in the journey and looking to still continue and not necessarily worry what's the market going to look like and maybe get some value from here?
Well, thanks for putting me on the spot, as always. You always do this to me. So if they've been, so if someone has already got going and bought one or two properties, you know, I make a play about buy to let being boring and HMO being hard work and all these things because I'm a property developer by nature. So, but of course, if you, if you've got a job, a good job, and I'm helping a couple of professional footballers at the moment, and one of them earns 150 grand a week.
Okay, that's so good. Yeah,
you know, they can, they, he can buy, he can buy a house every month.
Yes.
So literally. So if you can do that, and that's an exaggerated example, but if you, if you've got a good job, one thing I would say, if you've got any sort of job and you're getting into property, keep that job.
Keep that
job. Do not get rid of your guaranteed income, because property can be done in the evenings, in the mornings. You know, you can be flexible. It's a flexible job. Your 9-to-5 job brings you in the income. And I have to earn a lot of money every year. The reason I have to earn good money every year is because I have to live. So when I do a property deal, I can't reinvest all that money into the next deal.
No.
Because I've got to, take it out for all my entourage I've got here, horses, God knows what, staff, God knows what I've got. Wife, etc., etc. So is that that now that's sexist? My stepdaughter will say that's inappropriate or something.
It's actually the main thing.
It won't be the first time she's told me off, Jack, or the last, so don't worry. So, but what I'm saying is, if you've got a job, please, please, please don't just announce because you've done one or two properties that you're going to be full time in property. You know, you can have 10, 12 properties and then look to do that probably. Yeah. But to do it early on is crazy. And you say, well, what I'm going to do is find deals for other people. Good luck with that, because that is a tough gig. You know it's how tough it is, Jack.
Yeah, it is.
I'm happy to pay anyone 2% finder's fee if they can find me the right deal.
Yes.
But it's hard. It's really hard to find good deals. And to think you might need to rely on that and to substitute your regular income by doing that is naive at best, in my view.
Here is something I can share from my perspective. I mean, I ask questions based on, you know, because for people who are watching, these are the kind of questions I get all the time. Here is a perspective that I can share from my end. If you are a very, very good marketer, a very good salesman, then there's no harm. The problem is 9 out of 10 people don't have the marketing and sales skills to be able to sell a decent deal or even an average deal. You know, if you have good skills, you can sell an average deal.
But Jack, if the deal's good enough, you can sell it to anyone.
Yeah.
You've got lots of options.
Yeah.
The problem is, including doing a joint venture with me, if it's good enough, you know?
Yes. So it is, yes.
You don't need to sell it. You don't need to be able to
I agree.
Get a finder's fee. But the problem is finding those deals is so hard. You know, 40 years ago, the competition I had was nothing like we've got today.
No.
There's thousands and thousands more people.
I agree.
You know, aspirational, young, not just young, but a lot of young, aspirational, very bright people out there doing it. And it's great. And I enjoy working with them. I enjoy helping them.
Yep.
But there's so much competition, and we end up doing more and more sophisticated, more difficult projects because to make the margins we want to make, because the simpler deals are taken by other people who are happy with less margin.
Yes, I can tell this with very much my own observation and experience that the easier, like the average deals get taken over by people who are still new to the industry,
Yes.
while the decent deals are difficult to come by. And when they do come, I agree, you don't necessarily need sales skills. All you need to do is maybe connect with the right people. But yes, I agree with you.
Jack, I bet with you, and no one's honest enough to answer this question, and I don't blame them. But the question is, I would say that 50% of people who start doing property developments, okay, hoping to make 20% net profit, yeah, on costs, end up making 10% or less.
I can almost I can agree about 99% of it. Yes.
So on that basis, those
Yes.
people need to be, okay, they'll say, well, we made 10%, and I don't blame them for saying that, because once you're committed, you're committed. You've got
You're
to
committed,
finish the
yeah.
build, you've got to finish the conversion.
Yeah.
But I would say that if they have bet they're better property education to start with, and have support and help, they could turn that deal from 10% profit into what it perhaps should have been
Should have been, yeah.
originally. And I think everyone, the biggest problem is property education. I'm very passionate about, helping people in a genuine, decent way, because everyone, many of these property educators make out that it's easy, anyone can do
It's
it,
not.
and they it, it isn't, and they can't do it, and some people just aren't suited to it. I can't play the piano,
No, I know what you
I
mean.
can't, I'm no good at accounts particularly, so not everyone is the problem is people think anyone can do it, and they can't,
They can't.
and that's a problem.
I agree with you. I think this applies to, I believe it applies to every business. And that's
Sure,
because,
absolutely.
you could take the same two businesses and give it to two different people, and one is gonna drag it down while the other is gonna really push it up.
Sure.
But I think that applies, I think that depends a lot, massively on your leadership skills. And it's almost
Absolutely.
like, if you're a developer and if you are not in a regular practice of either having someone who's taking three, four, five quotations, or you're doing it yourself, and being able to lead a team effectively in the sense of making sure that if a job needs to be done in 10 days, that you plan for it for 12 or 13 days, because it's going to take longer. But
Yeah,
if it looks like
absolutely.
it's going to, so these are, I think these are all leadership skills and being able to bring the right,
Jack, but they are
build up.
the one thing I see with people who bring us joint ventures most days, or
Yes.
deals to do, is many new developers see no fear. They see no fear. They think it's going to sell, what the end product's going to sell immediately. They think the build work's going to be
Doesn't.
done quicker than it ever is. And they think the final count, if you like, when they've sold them all within a period of time, is always far too short. And that's the problem. This interest rate, when you're paying 10% interest rate, you don't need it out for too much longer than it should be to make a lot of difference.
Oh yeah, massively. I mean, we did a development and it was in partnership with someone, and I can tell that we it was a 4 million GDV development, and we ended up paying nearly half a million in just finance cost. And for those who
And
are
by the
watching this,
way,
that's 15%.
Jack, you show me a property developer that's never lost any money, and I'll show you a liar. So I'm not sitting here saying, I've never lost any money, I've never done this. I have, of course I have. I've made mistakes. But if you need to keep your mistakes to one in 10, if you can, one in
That's
10.
where it's at. Yeah. If you can keep your mistakes to one in 10 and maybe make decent profits on maybe four or five and average out on the
Absolutely.
rest, you
Yeah,
should be
I
really
agree.
good. Yes. I
I
agree with
agree
that
with that. I agree with that.
massively. Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure having you here.
It's a pleasure,
And
Jack, as
for those who
always.
are watching this, make sure you book your ticket for the event. You'll find it somewhere around this video or around, depending on where you're watching this. There are still some free and discounted tickets available, so grab yours now before they're gone. And this is going to be an amazing event. We have many, many prolific investors and speakers booked for this event. We have, we also booked Saj Hussain. I don't know if you know Saj Hussain from Birmingham. He's booked as well. And we have Mike Bristow, we have Simon Zucci, Ranjan, we have Ellie McKay, we have quite a few really, really experienced investors speaking. So make sure you book your ticket and I will see you all on the other side. Again, thanks, John, for being with us.
Jack, it's a pleasure and it will be fun.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.
Cheers.
Take care.